Hi, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. Welcome to the last Monday in September already. Yes, it is. Okay, it's September 27th, 2021, and we're now into fall. All right, it's here. Yes, it is. It's almost winter, as we like to say here in Maine. Okay, welcome to today's show on Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Got a nice one today with very good friends of ours, the folks from Twig Education. We're going to talk about Twig, T-W-I-G, Twig Science. Great company. I met them through a whole equity thing that we talked about and did. We're going to talk about equity, access, and then next-gen science. Okay, how they work with middle school and all that. But they literally are a company that went out of their way to help the school districts that requested it of them. This will be met about 7-8 months ago. It just impressed me so much. We've done a number of shows, et cetera, and worked together since then. They're good people over at Twig. It's twigeducation.com. I'll say it quite simply. You want to work with a good company, just check it out, twigeducation.com. Don't be shy. They're really good. They do believe in equity and access for all. And that, frankly, is what we're about. We are the American Consortium for Equity in Education. And that's over at ACE-ED.org. That's where we're going to archive this podcast. And also over there is our magazine, which is called Equity and Access Pre-K-12. You'll love it. It's an online journal. It's really, really, really excellent. If you haven't checked it out by now, please do so. We'll have a new issue up there at the end of this week. We always publish the last week of the middle month with this September-October issue. So it'll be out right on time at the end of this week. And, of course, it will be another wonderful issue. Everything we do over there is free for you. Listen to any podcast. Enjoy the magazine. All the information on equity and access at ace-ed.org. And we did start a new website called SEL Today, all about social-emotional learning. That's just up there. It's fairly new, but there's some nice stuff up there. You might want to listen, go over, check what we're doing, seltoday.org. We're very proud of what we're doing over there, and it's just going to keep growing and growing and being bigger and bigger. And without further ado, let me bring on today's Twig spokesperson, Lisa Larsgaard. Hi, Lise. How you doing?
Hi, Larry. Doing well. How are you?
I'm just fine. As a matter of fact, where are you today?
I am in the Bay Area, in California.
I figured that as opposed to Hudson's Bay. Or the Bay of Bengal. I figured that. I knew it was Bay Area. Speaking of bays, I just this morning did a show with a group that helps young adults with special needs out in Half Moon Bay right by you in San Francisco.
Oh, it's lovely there, yeah.
It really Absolutely. Is. It's a nice group called the Big Wave Project. And they work with young adults who have left high school but have special needs. And they help them just get on their feet, maybe go to college, et cetera, et cetera. It's a nice group called Big Wave Project
Beautiful.
Out there. Okay. Where are you located in the Bay Area? Where are you?
I'm in the East Bay over by Benicia.
Oh, my God. I was in Benicia about 47 million years ago. Okay, when there was I'm not kidding you, when there was nothing there.
Right, well, things have changed.
Yeah, I know. Literally, I never even heard of it. And I drove from San Francisco.
That is about 47 million years ago.
It is. And I went there, and literally there was nothing there. I mean, it was just like a little restaurant. That was it, okay? I mean, you know, dinosaurs were still walking the earth. My Lord, I can't believe it. I bet it's all crowded with 1,000 freeways now. Wow, unbelievable.
Pretty much.
Yeah, I know. And so it goes. Lise, tell us what you do for Twig. And again, everybody, it's twigeducation.com, and it is one hell of a good company. That's all I have to
Thank
say
you,
on that.
Thank you, Larry.
I mean
it. I appreciate that.
Everybody I work with over there and all the things we do over there, and I know what you guys do for schools. I mean, you go out of your way. You're a good company.
I appreciate that, and it's nice to be acknowledged for that because our mission is very genuine and very sincere, so I appreciate that. My job is I'm a senior consultant for Twig, which basically means I am kind of the conduit between teachers in the field who are both piloting and implementing our program fully and the rest of the company. So I have a team of consultants who works nationally to support teachers and educators in implementing TWIG, but we also are quite evangelical about NGSS and equity, which is why So appreciate that, and I'm really thrilled to talk about middle school, which is one of our newer products, as you're aware.
I know. Yeah, it's amazing. And, you know, I just want to ask something. That's as simple to say, but not so easy to do what you just said. You're the liaison between the educator and the company, all right? And
correct.
Give us just an example, one that pops into your mind, okay, of how you work, what you do. Just explain that connection. Just have some fun with it. Your favorite thingy. Yeah.
Absolutely. So I'll give you an example. Just Friday, I was down in Southern California in Chino Valley working with over 70 educators in a room for about 6 hours. And, you know, one of the things I love about working for TWIG is we're incredibly responsive. We're a smaller company,
yeah, you are.
So we can be very nimble. But you can imagine in a group of 70 exceptional teachers, by the way, I mean, they were really, really impressive. That there are lots of ideas. And so I met with several folks who came up with me over break and shared with me some ideas that they had on things like how to make the website better, how to make it more accessible, maybe something we could consider for English learners, et cetera, et cetera. And we literally have a big green feedback button right on our digital site so that we can take feedback all of the time. And I would seriously venture to say, don't quote me on this empirically, but probably 80% of what we've done in the last 2 years from our original, what I'm going to call one of our final iterations, although it's never final, I'd say about 80% of everything we've changed since then has been based on teacher feedback.
I believe it.
Yeah.
I know you guys.
So that's kind of my job, is to make sure we're doing the very best we can for teachers, which therefore, you know, affects students. And I just kind of help make sure that happens. And I work obviously with an incredibly talented group of content developers, marketing and design, and digital experts who obviously make that happen and are extremely responsive and respectful of the advice and the guidance that we get directly from the field.
You guys are raptors. You are quick to move. Okay, you really are.
Yeah,
you're
quick
to evolve.
We don't mess around, Larry.
No, you know, and you know, it sounds like a sales pitch and all that, but it's true. TWIG works very hard, and I know this from experience, to work with the schools and the teachers and then get their feedback and actually make the change. I mean, there were some giant companies out there that are nice companies, good companies. Okay, but it's hard for them to work through what always becomes in a large company a huge bureaucracy. It takes time.
Exactly.
It takes time.
That's so
takes
true.
Time for, yeah, it takes time for a brontosaurus to move one step forward. But when you're a raptor, you can move quickly. Okay, nothing against
well
the brontosaurus. They were lovely animals. Okay, but you get my point. All right. So
it's
speaking
well
of science,
perfect analogy.
Speaking of science, yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate that. So speaking, of science, all right, let's talk about TWIG science, next generation standards, okay, science standards. You have something called three-dimensional learning, which I'm not sure what that is, and then it's all about middle school. I'm going to get into equity and access too, but just talk about your middle school stuff. You wanted to get into that. Go ahead. Next gen science.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So the middle school program was actually not in the plan. And what happened was we developed an elementary school program.
Yeah.
Our elementary school program became so popular so quickly. You know, again, kudos to the teachers and students who helped us build that.
Yeah, exactly.
And that we actually had a lot of middle school teachers who were piloting and evaluating other programs come to us and say, you know, we're just not loving what we see out there. And we know our elementary teachers love what they're doing, and we really appreciate that because obviously we're inheriting those students that we count on to have those foundational skills. So can you build us a middle school program? And that literally is how the middle school program came about. It was not
there
in the plan. Of course, being the company that we are and very responsive and, again, very talented group of content developers, Natasha Stillwell is amazing. and work in her work with the Imperial College London.
Mm-hmm.
So we developed a middle school program, and it's I got to tell you, it is so exciting. I mean, you know, the kids get to, and I call them kids, even though they're in middle school, they're still my baby.
They're kids. They're kids.
The students, you know, they get
listen,
to work.
Wait a minute, Lisa, I'm getting so old. I call teachers who have been teaching 30 years kids. Okay, don't worry about it. They're the kids, so don't worry about it.
Okay. But, yeah, so we're just really proud of what we've done. Again, it was in collaboration with middle school teachers. We did dozens and dozens and dozens of focus groups with middle school teachers who helped us build the program out. So we're really proud of what we've got going here. And, you know, like everything we do at TWIG, it all comes back to equity and the democratization of science, particularly for people of color and females. And that was the goal of our CEO, Catherine Kahn, who started TWIG Science.
What, how do you incorporate that? That's a wonderful mission. I know you guys stand by it. Okay. But how is that incorporated in, if I may ask?
Absolutely. I can go through a list of ways. So,
please.
You know, one of the more obvious, and some might even consider it surface, however, very, very critical ways that we incorporate that is by visual representation. So absolutely everywhere students go in TWIG, whether it be in a video exploration, in a digital interactive, in the textbook itself, or just on the digital platform, they're going to see representations of people of color and females all over, and people with different abilities. I call it different abilities and
not
disabilities.
Nice. Yeah, not disabilities. Yeah, thank you.
You know,
I don't like that word disability either. I think it's been a common word,
just
but
my
it's been a bad word. Yeah, it's time to move on from that
It's different abilities, right?
Yes, thank you. Neurodiversity, if I may.
Right, exactly. So, you know, one of the things research says is that people of color and females in STEM, which is still severely underrepresented, and we have a real issue of that, particularly here in the United States, is that they lack mentors. And so we wanted to make sure that we provided the opportunity for them to see, you know, a black female actually lead the movie production company that they're going to be science advisors for in one of our modules. So she's the boss, right? So we wanted to just really make sure that was obvious. And so that's one of the things we did. But in terms of the actual curriculum and the routines that students learn, we're all about giving students agency, no matter where they are in their abilities or proficiency levels, and really taking on ownership. So in every single module of TWIG Science Middle School, we have them taking on a specific STEM role or career, because it also helps us address the issue of, you know, not enough students, period, let alone people of color and females, are going into STEM right now. And so we want them to aspire to careers that they probably didn't even know existed. Obviously, it's really hard to do if you don't even know something exists. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. I was just thinking aloud. You go ahead.
Okay, so they actually take on these STEM roles and careers as professional scientists and engineers would, and we give them the tools to do that. So you mentioned the three dimensions. Those three dimensions are really the core of NGSS, and it really does, pardon me, completely change the way that we are doing science. And notice I didn't say teaching science, because it's a step back from actually teaching, and it's really more kind of being the guide on the side and facilitating students.
Mm-hmm.
And that really wraps around these three dimensions, which are the disciplinary core ideas, which is the content we want them to know, the cross-cutting concepts, which is kind of the metacognitive tools, what's happening in the brain to help them make sense of the science, and then really the science and engineering practices. And these are the eight behaviors or actions that scientists and engineers would take to actually make sense of phenomena and work through the science. So we've really stepped away from this old way of just giving students a list of steps to follow in a procedure. You know, real scientists and engineers who are trying to come up with a cure for cancer or, shall I say, coronavirus, are not given a list of procedures and steps to follow like a recipe out of a cookbook, right? They have to work through these eight science and engineering practices that all scientists and engineers use on a daily basis. So that's what we've done. We take those three dimensions down to every single lesson level which is a real differentiator for us. I don't know if you're familiar with edreports.org, but they dinged a lot of companies for not doing that. And so we were very careful to make sure that we're taking those three dimensions down to every single lesson. So every time students are doing science, they're doing things like asking questions and defining problems, planning and carrying out their own investigations from scratch without a list of procedures to follow, because that's the old way of doing things, and that's not the real way of doing science, right? Arguing from evidence. So we work with Stanford Center for Assessment, Learning, and Equity. You're familiar with SCALE, I know.
Yes.
And Stanford SCALE team helped us create, not helped us, they actually created and we incorporated into our program specific language routines that actually teach students explicitly the skills of, you know, how to argue from evidence. How do we come up with our claims and how do we defend our evidence and our reasoning? And this is just, you know, not only helping students aspire to pursue STEM, but it's actually helping them become scientifically literate, whether they go into a STEM career or not. And Lord knows, in the time of day we're in right now, that could never be more important. You know, science
That's
is
right.
science.
Thank you.
And so
I couldn't agree with you
giving
more.
And so giving everyone the opportunity to be scientifically literate through these language routines and knowing how to talk through scientific issues, in addition to
actually, Lise, what you said, I want to just say something else. I know we're talking about science, okay? But, you know, to teach people how to argue from evidence, to teach people to be verbally literate and how to move along the path of logic, you know, every subject, and everybody agrees with this, needs to be interdisciplinary. All right, and that's what this does, okay? So if we're taking the rules of – and this is actually good. If we take the rules of science and science experimentation and apply that to logical thinking, if I may, and this to me is where math had lost its way. It was teaching math as opposed to math as logic that you need in everyday life, okay? This is the way to do it. Okay, there is a way to teach it so that it crosses all disciplines, and that is what's so important. It is so damn important that I always congratulate you guys on what you're doing. You know, I have two questions for you. Okay,
sure.
And I don't know if you know the answer to the first one. You were working with you worked with Stanford, but you always were also worked with Imperial College in London, right?
Correct. Yes.
Right. And I'm just curious, as the as you talk to the folks in England, okay, and you talk to the folks in the U.S., is the middle school education the same in both? Can you apply one to the other? And I don't even know if you can answer that. It just kind of struck me. Okay, is there a difference between the two in middle school? Which is a hard question to answer, and you may not be able to answer it. I don't know. I'm just curious.
Let me make sure I understand the question. So do you mean the middle school in the UK versus middle school in the United States?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
I'm not
so
even
from
sure
actually,
I understand the question. It just struck me that it might be fun to hear an answer for it. Yeah.
I love working with you, Larry.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
You know, it's interesting that you say that, because we actually have an equity and inclusion committee internally. I call it a committee. It's really a kind of our own little consortium within our company to make sure that it's actually to make sure that as a company internally we are being inclusive and equitable. But obviously that stands out and, you know, corresponds with what we're doing as a mission in terms of education. And we just had this discussion on a call just a few days ago. Because I work with, obviously, a committee of people, and as you know, half of our company is in the UK and half of our company is here in the U.S.
I do know
and
that.
And so we had that exact question, and the answer is it's pretty much the same.
There you go.
They still have a lot of the same issues. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was wondering, you know, because the countries aren't different. They're different countries. I was just curious,
Okay,
where the kids are, et cetera, both. It's good. That's good to know. In many, many ways, it's good to know. And I have to ask you something else. And I love what your company's doing with the access and equity and making sure kids of color are represented, making sure ladies, females are represented. And by the way, one of the things we have to do, I will say this, while we can get all the women into science that we can, this has been a challenge, okay? Women still have babies, okay? And somehow we have to make sure that they have time to go away and have their family and come back to their job. All right, it's a very difficult thing because we want women to do everything, if I may. Okay, not only be a scientist with a doctorate and create a vaccine, but don't forget to have six babies along the way. Okay, we have to make sure we accommodate all this. Okay, in your spare time, you know, that kind of thing. It's just it's an interesting thing, and society has to change. And I think workplaces are changing to make this a reality, because otherwise we lose some great minds if we don't do that. Okay, it's that simple. Okay, notice the way I say it's that simple. The question is that simple. The answer isn't, I might add. Okay, so
although it has been done very successfully in other countries, they do manage the two very successfully.
I agree, and hence we have to get it done here as well, because otherwise we're losing great minds. Okay,
we're losing great minds. That's the bottom line.
We lose them for a while anyway. Just crazy. It's just something we got to do. Just that the little bone to pick right there. Okay, for the world. All right.
Not to get too political.
not at all. All right. I'm curious about this. All the companies like Twig are interested in making sure that all groups are represented within their products. And I hear it from both ends. I hear it from the school districts, and I hear it from the companies. But I'll ask you, Lise, because you're kind of in the middle there. When you go into a school district, do they say to you, look, we want to approach this subject from an equity point of view? Does your product reflect that? Are they actually asking that?
They do. We see that on rubrics and evaluation tools more and more. Absolutely.
That's
a huge hot topic button right now, and we see it everywhere we're going, as it should be.
Absolutely.
Yes. And so, we designed our program to really reflect that mission. And so I'm always very happy when people ask to see that evidence of that. And obviously we're a science program, so I always tell people, don't take my word for it. Let me show you the evidence of what we've done and walk them through all of the things we've done, not only just in the curriculum itself, but to help teachers make sure they're being culturally responsive and using, universal design for learning to help students be able to express and learn in the ways that help them assimilate subject matter individually. So I love it when I get the question because it puts the spotlight on what our goal and our mission was. Yeah,
exactly. But I wonder, I hear it a lot, but The person, I talk to a superintendent who's all in favor of it. I talk to a company who's all in favor of it. But you're really there when they're putting together what they want to buy from a company. And the fact that they're actually asking about that literal person involved really means a lot these days towards equity. It's that simple. I want to ask you something, and you may not be prepared to answer this at all, but I'll tell you how it came about. We just started a new website called SELtoday.org, which is social emotional learning. Okay,
right.
And I mentioned that to someone you know over there, my good friend over there at Twig, Dave McGinty. Okay, he's on vacation this week. Okay, he's bounding around on some Scottish beach or something. Okay, flying a kite. And eating haggis. I don't know what he's doing exactly, but I know he's on the beach. Okay. But my question is, when I say social-emotional learning, and I know a lot of companies are kind of building this into the curriculum, and just because of Dave's reaction, I'm curious, have you guys put thought in? I think it's kind of a loaded question because you always put thought into these things. But if I say social-emotional learning, has that popped up with science and all that stuff?
Oh, my goodness, 1,000%, yes. So it's social-emotional learning and equity and access are the two areas that I think people are wickedly focused on right now. And, again, as they should be, especially with everything we've been going through with COVID and all of the issues that are unfortunately rearing their ugly head. So it's really a critical aspect to focus on right now in education.
It really is. And we have then the companies – and just like you do with the equity next, we got to bake this into the products, okay, so that it's part and parcel of everything we're doing so these kids understand. And it just came up with Dave. I was curious if you're hearing anything about it out there, and I guess you are.
We are. Right? In fact, in our lesson plans in the teacher scaffolds and teacher support for differentiation, one of the accommodations we actually have is for social emotional learning. It says it right in the, I mean, that's the exact verbiage right in the margins of the teacher edition, that point of use of the lesson.
Isn't that interesting? So, I mean, you're on top of it. You're always on top
of it.
Well, you
know what? The bottom line
is
kids are...
You listen.
Yeah, well, here's the bottom.
I'll tell you the bottom line. You guys listen. You guys actually listen. That's the bottom line.
I appreciate that. And we're proud of that. We're proud of that. But, you know, like you said, you need a lot of brilliant, brilliant brains, you know, working toward a target and a goal. And so we don't take for granted all of the input from teachers who are, you know, in the trenches, so to speak. And
yeah, they are.
Obviously we have to provide them the support they need to be equitable and provide social emotional learning. So that's what we focus on in our curriculum.
Yeah. It's at least I'm telling you, it's all good stuff what you guys are doing. And explain to me, I wanted to explain this to me before we go. Three-dimensional learning.
Mm-hmm.
Did you do that already? You didn't talk about that already. What's three-dimensional learning?
Yes, I actually did, Larry. Are you not taking notes?
I did. Talk about it again then, because I was writing something when you were doing it then. Do it again.
Sure. So three-dimensional learning.
I think you mentioned it, but I don't think you went into the details of it.
You're correct. I didn't. That's fair enough. You're right about that. So the three dimensions are the disciplinary core ideas,
That's what it is. I wrote a note that started to say three-dimensional learning, and it popped up that other question, and I didn't finish up. And I said, say it again for my sake.
So the DCIs, or the disciplinary core ideas, is the content we want students to know. But how we get them there is what has changed. So how we get them there are by the other two dimensions. First are the cross-cutting concepts, which is a series of metacognitive tools, things like using patterns or using cause and effect or thinking about structure, function, or changing the scale, proportion, and quantity of something in order to make sense of it. So what's happening in the brain to make sense of the science? And then the science and engineering practices are those eight actions or behaviors we want to take to actually figure out the science or the disciplinary core ideas. And those are the eight practices deemed by the National Research Council to be the very eight practices that professional scientists and engineers use on a daily basis. So therefore, we want the students learning science that way. And they're getting away from, basically, they're getting away from the old methodology of, you know, the scientific method and having everything be procedural based. And at the end, everyone's looks the same because you followed the directions. That is not what science is. Everyone should look different. And then we should have to argue from evidence of why our design solution or the answer to our science question is the answer. So those are the three dimensions.
Yeah, and I got lost on that as we were talking about that, what that was the three-dimensional learning that I wanted to learn more about. Okay, the whole idea of the way to do scientific thought. I mean, it's just so cool, Lisa. It really is. I mean, what you guys have put together is just amazing. Is the middle school program now out there ready to go, ready to boogie?
So we're just putting the finishing touches. Yeah, we're just putting the finishing touches on it. It'll be ready to go end of October, digitally fully. And then by the end of the year, early January, we've got everything available in print as well.
Should school districts be talking to you about it now?
You know what's funny? They already are, Larry. We've got modules that are already completed, both in print and digital, and they couldn't wait. So they wanted to go ahead and get started with them. And then, you know, in the next few months, by the time they're done with those modules, we'll have everything done for them. So it's pretty funny. We tried to put them off, but they couldn't wait.
No, they can't wait. This is good stuff, and they love working with you. I think it's wonderful. Lise, thanks a million. This is really good. It was really good stuff today. I got to tell you.
Always a pleasure,
really,
Larry. Thank you so much for having me.
You have a company. I like your company because it's so damn responsive and quick. I mean, you guys
appreciate
get it.
That.
And things are changing so quickly. Well, it's true. If you wait too long to make a change these days, it's already obsolete. And that's the way the world is these days. You know, and you guys are quick, and you just respond well. And I think I speak for everybody who uses you, but everybody really appreciates that. They really do. Lisa Larsgaard, stay safe out there. Stay away from fire.
Thank you.
Stay away from COVID, okay? All right? And
thank you. I will. You do the same.
Waves,
take care.
Okay? Thanks, Lisa.
All righty.
Take
Bye-bye.
Care. Bye-bye. Lisa's out there in the San Francisco area. Stay safe is right. Okay. We'll archive over at ace-ed.org, and it's twigeducation.com. I'm Larry Jacobs. Check out what we're doing, ace-ed.org and seltoday.org. Hey, thanks for listening.